your girl Ricky Sling.
I'll tell you. It, These days we're going to have that ticket, you know, you talked about. It's pressed, stamped, paid for already, amen? It's just waiting for us when we take that last breath of life here on this earth. One man said one time, I'm not hurrying it up, but sometimes when you go through lives and troubles and this and that, you know, and whether it be family or whatever, sometimes it would be like John said, even come, so Lord Jesus, amen. And that's the way sometimes I feel here lately, you know, I've heard people, when I say that, you know, I look at credit, man, I don't want to, Brother Joe, I still, you know, I'm liking life, whatever. I am too, amen. I'm loving life as a Christian here on this earth, amen. I'm loving serving Christ in the whatever way that He'll give me to do, amen. But I tell you what, I'm not looking for the undertaker, but I'm looking for the uppertaker. Amen. Yeah. I'm ready whenever He's ready for me to go. If it's tonight, tomorrow, the next minute, whenever it may be. Amen. And if you're not ready tonight, here's the place down here before we even get started. Amen. Get the thing settled. As it settled with me one time in 1988, 28 years ago, that I know. I don't have to doubt about it. There's been... Satan's come in times, Brother Perry, and has put those doubts in my mind. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's not a sin for the doubts to be put in your mind, but what's a sin is for you to carry those doubts and put it from here, what is coming in right there, down in your heart, and allow it to influence the way you live as a Christian life. What we're going to talk about tonight in the book of Colossians, if you'll stand to your feet in honor of the reading of God's Word, we'll read just a few verses. And with God's help, we'll get into the service. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. With God's help, we'll apply it to our lives. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to our God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus, excuse me, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Thank God, amen, for that. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all in the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all the wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask You for help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, please, in Jesus' name, we ask You, dear Lord, Thy Holy Spirit of God, that Thou would come and meet with us tonight, Heavenly Father. Thank You for what we've already felt, dear God. Lord, I pray, Father, that You'd empower us, Lord, tonight. Lord, help us to give that which You've given us to give to Your people tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love You and we appreciate You now. In Jesus' precious name, help us, Lord. We desire Thy help. Amen and amen. Are we increasing in knowledge of God? Brother Brian has been talking in the book of Colossians here for probably the last month or two, and the Holy Spirit impressed on me when Brother Joe asked me to preach this morning. I had something totally different I was going to preach about. As I got to study and going, and as many times the Holy Spirit changed that thing there, and he said, you know, that what needs to be talked about, and I covered it here and through all the verses, but one there that stuck out to me in verse number 3 of chapter 1 of Colossians says, "And we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." And he said in verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints." Paul had never been to Colossae, the church of Colossae. His notes got there through Epaphroditus. Paul undoubtedly was in jail in prison at this time. But he says, "I'm praying for you always." In another place he says, "I'm always mentioning you in my prayers." Daily. "Brother Ricky, I'm mentioning you in my prayers." If you'll think with me just a minute and allow the Holy Spirit to pierce your heart, what I want to touch on tonight is two or three fold, but the main thing, are we praying for one another? Are we doing what the Apostle Paul, from prison, when he sent the note, the letter to the Colossians church, said, "I've already heard of you. It's how you're faithful in your church, the community, the word." Let me stop for just a minute. I've heard Brother Joe talk and Brother Brian talk about it too. Are we heard in the community? Are we being known in the community? Is our faith and our caring for the saints being heard in the community? Are we making that impact? Or did revival stop last Saturday night? I don't think it stopped last Saturday night. I believe we've got enough saints of Jesus Christ to carry the work on and to be faithful. It said in one place down here, and he talked about verse number 22, it said, "In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight." Unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, is that talking about living in sinless perfection? No. But we are to have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be able, people to be able to see us. You've heard it talked about many times. Brother Joel will say it just about every time he preaches. Is people out in the world seeing Christ in us? Is our testimony here at Pathway Baptist Church going out the doors? Are you praying for one another in this church? Are we praying? That hit me during revival time there when we had the Friday night thing out here, you know, and Brother Perry and I was out here for 3, 4, 5 hours, I think it was. Just about. It hit me that night. We're praying for revival, but there was one time there that I prayed that God would get my feelings out of the way and allow Him to come in and take control and set me aside. I think that's what happened this morning, I believe it was, when you praised the Lord. I think that's what happened when Brother Perry was talking about being open to the Holy Spirit of God, letting Him reign free in our lives. Not letting distractions and stuff bother us. You know, Paul was talking and sending this letter here, and he said in one place there, he talked about in verse number 18, he said, well, in number 17, he said, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." In number 18, he said, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first, and from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence. Jesus, if he's not first in our life, he doesn't have preeminence. I don't know any other thing to put plainer to say than that. Jesus has to be preeminent. He has to be first. Okay, there is a, Brother Joe and I have talked about this, I think it was, you know, the family was established here. It's up top. Amen? The family. Your wife, children, stuff like that, and then the church. God is first. The family, and then the church. You get any part of that out of the order, men and women, as Brother Brian talked about this morning when he was over there and he talking about honor, I believe it was in Colossians, he said honor, talking about parents, honor, kids honoring their father and their mother, obeying them. He talked about the husbands, the wife, submit yourself unto the husband. He said the husbands was to love the wife. In one place there, Paul said, he said, husband loves your wife as the Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. If we, I guess let me put it this way. If we don't have and we're not willing to have and pray for one another, let me back up here and let me start here in verse number 8. And who also declared unto us the love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His Word in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto His pleasing. I want the Lord to be pleased with me. I want Him to be pleased with me. If He's not pleased with me, there's nothing I say or do or anybody else says or do is going to be worth a hill of beans. Amen. We could close up shop, put the Bible down, Brother Joe, and forget it. Amen. If we, as the church of the living Jesus Christ, if we can't but have Christ's preeminence in her life, I don't know how any other way to say it. Yeah. As it was been talked about this morning, where Brother Brian brought it out, Brother Joe, and you did also, that's the only way that the Holy Spirit's going to have His way. Just like He did in this young lady's heart this morning, amen. When the Holy Spirit came by, amen. I've heard Brian say when the Holy Spirit showed out, when God came by and showed out, amen. When the Holy Spirit comes by, you know what it's going to take? Us faithful, praying for one another, amen. Having a godly life where we're blameless. And there's one place there he said, I've studied that this evening here, and I'm not quite understanding everything. I know I do, but in verse number 22 it says, unblameable and unreprovable. Well, let me just put it to you just exactly like that. So it doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. John said that we'd sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we have an advocate with the Father. If we do, we can ask Him. But to be unreprovable out in the world when you go to your job or whatever you do, however how you're dealing with people, to be unreprovable means that there's no bad testimony against you, Brother Perry. Oh, man, I tell you what, and I saw that this evening there and got to reading that. Something come in my heart, Brother Joe, there, that I know that one day I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. There's one place there he talks about that and said he's going to wipe away all tears. I don't know if any of you scholars and all want to tell me that I'm wrong or whatever. I believe within what I've been taught and what the Holy Spirit's given me that that's going to be a time there that we're going to have to give. He talked about one place there. He said that it works. Was it going to be burned up with hay? You know, was it going to be tried in fire? Come out pure as gold or wood, hay, stubble? I believe And I know in my heart that's going to be a time, Brother Joe. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to living with Jesus Christ, amen, reigning forever and ever. But that's one day I'm not looking forward to. Now, we won't be, if you saved, in the great white throne judgment. But we will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. We're going to receive crowns, if I read the Word of God right. But you know what we're going to do with them? We ain't going to keep them. We're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. We're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Brother Brian, Brother Brian said that we're just here for two reasons, amen? To praise Him and give Him glory, amen? That's it! And for Him to use us as instruments to tell others about Jesus Christ. That's right. And I read in there, you know, in the second chapter, verse number 1, it says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Stop right there. Paul hadn't seen them, and they hadn't seen him. You praying for Woods Cove Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church, the church that Brother Tater just took there. Are we praying for one another? He said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together. I stopped right there for just a little bit this evening. I remember my grandmother knitting, Brother Joe. Sitting there and knitting afghans and stuff like that and all these things. And you know, and I still got one of them quilts somewhere. And you know, that's the heart. I can take when an old quilt that's sewed together, they'll tear. But you know, there's one thing, Brother Joe, I found out about them knit stuff. Unless they rot and out somewhere or another, they won't tear. I'm tired, Brother Perry. Paul said, chapter 2, verse number 2, he said, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father of Christ. Simply said, we're to be knit together. The mystery of Christ is nothing but the gospel, telling people about Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it a great mystery, the death and the burial and the resurrection. And it was a mystery to the Jews. But it's what we base our lives on, our Christian life. And I know this is not the fireball sermon and stuff that Terry Pace and some of these other, you know, and all that, and he talked about styles and this and that. You know, I don't know any other way other than to teach God's Word and preach God's Word and to lay it out to where Jesus said, he talked about over there, said, that children understand it. Amen. He said, unless you come as a little child. And what he meant by that, it don't get over their head out here, but the gospel and the Word of God is as simple that a little child can understand it. He said, unless we come humble as a little child, he said, you won't even enter in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I sit here sometimes on Sunday morning and whatever, and And I'll tell you what, I see so much, and I think it's the pastor's job and the shepherd of the flock to do any kind of, if it's whatever you want to call it, to reprove it or this and that, but I see so much apathy in the house of God. The Sunday night crowd and the Wednesday night crowd is heard. Brother Perry said it one Wednesday night. That's the church. This is what God's going to take, and He's going to come after each and every one of us. Are you saying the ones that's here on Sunday morning, that's not here on Sunday night, Wednesday night, you never see them around, don't support revival? Are you saying that they're not going to be in heaven? I'm saying, I don't know. The Bible says, by the fruits you shall know them. Amen. By the fruits you shall know them. So one of my pastors said one time, and when I got saved, he said, we're fruit inspectors. Many don't like that word there, but that's what we are. We're not to be self-righteous judge or whatever, but the Bible says, taken by the Word of God here, you'll know Christians, true Christians, that have preeminence, that having Christ's preeminence in their life, that their life is unblameable and unreprovable. In verse 23, and it says, if you yet continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That, there's that mystery again. Which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Well, Joe, that's about as clear. As one man my grandfather used to tell me, he said, so that's as clear as water dropping in a bucket. Clip, clip, clip. You can hear it. You know when, and I'll say this, when the Holy Spirit is working in a service, I told Linda this evening, we was talking a little bit about worship. Do you know that offering is a type of worship? And we take it so flippantly. Worship. Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles restored the worship in the temple of what had been torn down by this and that and how their evil ways and stuff like that. Are you saying there's evil stuff in the churches? I'm saying when you go to a lot of churches in America, whatever, there's some evil stuff and they need to be come through with a big bulldozer there and turn it over and start over, amen. And I don't think we'll ever see revival until, number one, we pray for one another. Leonard Ravenhill said revival tarries because of people not praying for one another, not praying. And we won't see revival unless our lives are unblameable and unreprovable. They say, well, Brother Mike, you sitting up there, you're awful. I'm preaching back at me. I'm saying that I live a life this week. I've struggled with it. I've been out in the heat. I don't know how many of you work in heat, but sometimes it can make you ill, amen. And when people come up and all this kind of stuff, it just drives it. But what's what bothers you? What causes you to lose your testimony out in the world? What causes you that we can't be here members of this church, in Pathway Baptist Church, that we can't be like the church of Colossae? To be known, wouldn't it be something crazy 100 years down the road, if the Lord tarries, that Pathway Baptist Church, I know it's not going to be in the Bible, you know what I'm saying, like Colossae was, but wouldn't it be known, but nice to be known? I read that thing there, the start and the beginning of Pathway Baptist Church, and what happened at the beginning, and how it's led up to where it's at right now. When I saw that in the beginning there, Pathway Baptist Church was known. You know that it still is. And what I'm saying, he said, Brother Mike, are you saying it's not? No, now I'm saying we have got to guard, knit ourselves together as Christians and guard it. Brother Vine talked about guarding our marriages this morning. Nurse them and garden them. If we don't guard our relationship here at Pathway Baptist Church, I don't know what will happen. There was one statistic about 10 years ago that there were somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 churches closing a year in the United States. Baptist churches, not just labeled whatever you want to label them. And there's around 180,000 Baptist churches in the United States. 500 a year. And that was 10 years ago. I don't know what the deal is now. Maybe y'all know more about it. Churches don't want to have Sunday night services. Don't have Wednesday night services. Just come Sunday morning. I don't know how to get fed. I don't know how you can stay away when the Word of God is preached. I'm going to tell you, Miss Lynn, and tell you, I was miserable them 2 days I missed the revival. I couldn't understand it, Brother Joe. When I wasn't here Wednesday night, I got so hot that I thought I was going to die before I got home. And, oh, man, I said, I just need to drive on. I had paint covered me from one end. I had my hair. I had it on my arms. I had it everywhere. I told her on the phone, I said, I'll just drive on. Just let them smell me the way I am, have the paint and everything else. Amen. But you know, sometimes we get weak in the flesh. And I don't care what you do sometimes. You can't overcome that by yourself. But if we're praying for one another, Brother Joe, and if we're caring about one another, we're unstoppable. I think we'd be like the church at Colossae here. And I believe that's what he was talking about them. He said, you know, that they, he said he'd heard how that they was filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Can you imagine a church being filled with his will and all spiritual understanding? This morning's service there, right, reminded me of a church being filled with all understanding in His will, amen. Does that strike with you? Being filled. Look at it. Verse number 9. That you might be filled with all knowledge, with the knowledge of His will, Jesus Christ, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Second Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We need to be furnished. We need to be to all good works. Everything we need to have that Holy Spirit, the preeminence that Paul talked about in Colossians. 2 Peter 3:18. Tells us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. To Him. John 7:17-18 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And he that speaketh of himself, talking about us, seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory, Jesus Christ, that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness, church, is in him. Does that mean we don't sin? It doesn't. I don't think as a day goes by, I think my grandmother, she died at 96. She was a Methodist, bless her heart. She believed you could lose her salvation. But I don't know of a day I spent time with that woman. All us kids did. I never remember a time when I walked in her house that she didn't have the Word of God open. When she didn't think we, when she thought we wasn't looking, whatever, I could hear her praying to her sweet Jesus. Somebody told me one time, said, "You believe Aunt said Grandmother Maddie Walker ever sinned?" She'll say, she'll tell you. She said she has to pray for forgiveness every day. She believed she'd lose it if she didn't confess sin. But I believe that if that saint, if there's anybody in my life, and maybe you've got somebody in your life and known somebody in life that was living so close to Jesus. I heard a song, I can't remember, the singer was from Alabama, though, I'm trying to think, it said, "Death ain't no big deal." Jay Kess, I believe it was. And another said, "When I die," said, "you want to be so close to Jesus, it wouldn't make no difference. It'd just go from this life on to that, and I'd be so close to Jesus." That's where I want to be, folks. I want to be so close to Jesus. Today, tomorrow, Brother Chris, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the way around. I want to be so close to the Lord. If something happens, it ain't going to be no big deal. Is it going to be a big deal with you? Are you dreading death? God help us. My grandson this week, they had to take him to the emergency room. Blood pressure bottomed out. I don't know how many he's got bad kids, but you know that'll tug at your heart, amen. But there's one, and I called up, talked to Brother Perry and them, and then they gave him a prayed over a prayer cloth Wednesday night. And just as soon as it got home, they're talking about how it said they didn't know what happened. And they give this big long name and all this kind of stuff of what was wrong, how come he was unresponsible for about 10 minutes. I don't know how I could probably get, and some of you with grandchildren and children, I could get just a little bit, now you, don't be judgmental when I say this, for just a little bit, people lose children and they lose loved ones for just a little bit. If I wasn't close to, I say close to the Lord, by God's grace, I am what I am, as Paul said. I could find myself as others has been that gets away from the Lord with the death of a loved one, especially a little one. Heard about the little kid that was, you know, mauled by the alligator down at Disneyland or whatever the deal was. Where are you going to be when if something like that happens to you? Where are we going to be spiritually? If we come up tomorrow or tonight, like Mr. Wooten did here about a year and a half ago or whatever, and loses his son. How's that going to affect you? Brother Perry Dunn talked about it last Sunday morning there, "It is well with my soul." Is it well with our soul tonight? This may be repetitious, folks, but I don't know any other way that other than to preach what God's laid on my heart to tell you that we must be ready, watching and ready. Amen?
Amen.
Watching and ready. And if we're not watching and ready, shame on us when it's out in the world. Because I guarantee you, as one person said, I believe it was Brother Chris, said it, or one of them there said, if you're not teaching your kids and you're not showing them the right example, whatever, somebody else is. The world is, amen. This is hard, I heard it say, and I know people probably don't like hearing it. Well, it's hard. Hard to, because it come down on me this evening when I had to look at my life before preaching. I guess a lot of people do when you preach, whatever, look at your life and see how it measures up before you give out a message, whether it's teaching or whatever. Well, Joe, I feel so embarrassed sometimes. I feel so inadequate. I feel so inadequate. My kids is out of church. Some of you know my story. Some of you know. No use of talking about it. Some of you know the story about my daughter. How am I going to stand up before Jesus Christ? Does that bother any of you? If you just receive Christ, it happens tonight. If this thing don't go no further than right now, my Bible still says, so what appointed unto man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. You ain't going to linger around in some kind of paradise, out in lingo, or whatever you want to call it. The Bible says it's appointed unto man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, if you're lost, you're going to be judged one way, amen. But if you're saved, you're going to be judged. The Bible says, what gets me, and I can't comprehend it, it says I'm going to have to give account for every idle word. Every idle word. Does that bother any of you like it bothers me? Does it bother us enough to do like Paul said and to be recognized as the church of Colossae was? And to start living our lives and having Christ preeminent in our lives first? Does it bother us enough that we will be unblameable and unreprovable before the world? And when one thing I want to look forward to is when my Lord looks at me and He reaches out His hand, Brother Ricky, and He says, "Enter thy in, thou good and faithful servant." What does it say? It says, "You've been faithful over a few things. You're going to be ruled over many, amen." I want that crown of rejoicing. To love the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want my children and grandchildren I want them to look at me, Brother Perry, in a different light. Than what the rest of the world sees.
if you didn't work out in public and see the depravity and the disrespect of our young people, not all of them. And I'm not going to label the young people there. I'm talking about adults. Sometimes I just want to go home, Brother Joe, and leave this old world sorrow. But Paul said in one place, he said, I want to go. But he said, it's expedient. It's going to be beneficial for you if I stay. Huh? That's not being self-centered. If we go with our only hands and feet and mouths that Jesus has, if the Word of God is not preached, we're not going to hear it. We won't get fed. Brother James, we won't get fed. You'll get a little bit if you just come, and I've heard people say, well, I don't have to go to church. I can read. I can have church at home and read my Bible and all this kind of stuff. Hogwash, amen. When the doors of church is open, we need to be here supporting the man of God and the saints, encouraging the saints of the living Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be doing. We're not only glorifying God by our presence here on this earth, but we are encouraging the saints. It encourages me when I come to the house of God and I see the saints here. Brother Ricky, you don't know what it does for me for you to be here. You don't know what it does for you to be here. It encourages me to run the race, as Paul said. Press towards the mark, Brother Perry. The high calling. Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. Not for ourselves. Not for... We're here to Lord, glorify Jesus Christ, serve Him, and encourage the saints. Now that's Bible. And that's what was happening at the Church of Colossae. God help us in America. The elections is not going to do it. We're not going to have revival. I don't care who's elected. Get your mind off that. If we don't get our minds back on the Word, as Brother Brian said, fall in love with the Word of God. I was reading the Word of God. It's so good to read the Word of God in quiet and getting off yourself. It's all right if you want to read it together, but there ought to be a quiet place. You've heard me say it before. I don't care where it's at, that you get off to yourself and you read the Word of God. And you fall back in love. If you're not in love with Jesus Christ, you fall back in love with Him. How do you get, if your children get... And Brother Calvin, if one of them gets out of fellowship with you, this and that, the only way for you to get back in fellowship, or them to get back in fellowship with you, is for y'all to come together. Amen? For us to come together. There's no time for jealousy. I believe it's hard this morning. There's no time for jealousy in the house of God. If I don't get to preach no more for the rest of my life, I'm going to give praise, Brother Joe, for what I've already got to do. Amen. And give Him glory for it. I'm not jealous of any of them, the preachers. Amen. I'm not. I thank God for the opportunity to get up and sing.
Amen.
And preach and teach the Word of God. And that's all I know how to do. And that's all each and every one of us, because we're going to have to show them little ones coming up. They're looking at you. They're looking at you. They're looking at you. That's the message that God gave me.
I love you. I love the Word of God. I love Pathway Baptist Church. And God help us to be more like the church at Colossae and realize that there's more to life than us. I don't have to say anything. That's what it's about. In the lost and dying world outside that, please don't leave this, leave lost. Amen? Let me give you another one. Please don't leave indifferent tonight. The Lord's dealt with you. This is the place right down here. Get it right. Amen? Please don't leave indifferent. Amen. God bless you.